new to the VFL and ex-AFL players. We'll quickly fly through them, Jimbo.
We will. Just bear with me for a moment.
I think most people know.
Tim Clark.
Timmy. He's
gone to Coburg, ex-Hawthorn.
Tomo.
Nathan Thompson. He stayed at Werribee virtually, didn't he? Because that's where he finished his career. Ex-North Melbourne Hawthorn. Adam Uze, we've already discussed his involvement with Box Hill. He's from Melbourne. Damien Peverell, again, gone to Collingwood, ex-Essendon player. Blake Grimer, Port Melbourne. Good to see Port Melbourne picking up a couple of players. He's ex-North Melbourne. Ben Davies from Williamstown, ex-North Melbourne. Chris Egan, Williamstown again, ex-Collingwood. He did his knee, I think, in Trevor Barker Oval last year. Sam Isles, again, from Collingwood, gone to Box Hill. Peter Falks, ex-Sydney, is now at Casey. The DeLuca brothers, Fabian and Adrian, both gone to Port Melbourne. Fabian's from ex-Port Adelaide, and Adrian is ex-Carlton. And Jason Saddington, he stayed at the Bull Ants. He's ex-Carlton and a Sydney. A player who's switched clubs this year, Liam Girard, was at Collingwood last year. He played four games and he's an Eric Casey. And I tell you what, he looks the goods. He looks like he knows what he's doing. Very underestimated player. We saw him at the Frankston practice match, Casey Frankston.
Yep.
And he looked
You could have mentioned that when you're speaking to Peter, like you've actually seen Casey in the preseason.
I don't know if he's playing, but he looks like one of these players that has no idea what he's doing, but always ends up with a ball. It's unbelievable. I watched him because I had my vision was limited due to the fact that you can't see one half of the ground when you're standing back at Casey. And I picked out this player because he's very noticeable on the ground, and I tell you what, he looks like he's got something extra special. His games at Collingwood were fairly disappointing last year, but again, there was a spark there at times.
So what we'll do, we'll quickly fly through the VFL players to watch in season 2009. These are players that I think maybe Travis Parnaby has put together as his star watch, I guess you could say. Darren Hume, remember his name? Ex-Carlton Hardener.
Certainly do, yes.
He is back playing, he's back with the Bendigo Bombers, so links up with Adrian Hickmott. I don't know if he's got a job as a coach or anything like that, Darren Hume, but he'll be a handy pickup at this level. Big-bodied.
You would assume he'd take on some sort of leadership role there.
He's probably replaced Hayden Skipworth in the same similar mould. Lucas Markovic, the promising defender for the Box Hill Hawks. He has been listed as a player to watch in season 2009. We just mentioned Pierce Little from Casey Scorpions, captain the Northern Territory under-18s. The 19-year-old is the inaugural recipient of the Aaron Davies Scholarship, an initiative by Casey, which involves recruiting Indigenous players and introducing them to Victorian football. Obviously, Davey made his mark with the borough. Jamie Sheehan, premiership player in 2008, and also won the Herald Sun Shield with Assumption College. So a pretty good year for Jamie Sheehan. He's been recruited to Collingwood.
The Pods.
And do we really have to watch Pods?
Wasn't that one of the biggest earthquakes that happened in the VFL pre-season? Yep. I think former Werribee captain, reigning JJ Liston trophy medalist, has gone to Geelong.
Yep.
He likes driving further down the highway.
Yep. I think his resume includes nearly every team in the VFL at the moment.
Well,
I think he's been
the big J-Pod. So he's down at Geelong as physiotherapist.
If he kept a jumper from every club that he played for, he could turn up for a whole week without wearing the same jumper.
Boom.
And Zach Zenstock. He's the son of Larry, the great basketball player.
A new CEO of Basketball Australia through the week, Larry Zenstock.
And he was in the team of the year of TAC Cup, team of the year 2008. And Larry Zenstock, even to non-basketball people, he's well known.
So that's why you know him?
That's why I know him, because I'm a non-basketball person, and I knew Larry Zenstock, not personally. I knew him as a great player. I do believe he played for Australia on many, many occasions.
Yes, he did, for the Boomers.
That's right, and he also North Melbourne Giants, I think. You'll have to help me with that.
Well, he did. Definitely. He was part of the Giants in that heyday era.
Didn't he part own a WA team?
I think I think he had some sort of record for most games played before Andrew Gaze passed him. I think he's I think he may have played like five Olympic games or something. I don't know.
I'm not thinking about Vlatov.
But
Vlatov or
on I think anyway.
Well, I went to WA and the club was
the
struggling, so he decided to part own them as with 50% stake in the team.
What we'll do, we'll got about 5 or so minutes before we'll try and get Andy Lovell on the program. Jimbo, we've got the list of the teams here as provided in this week's Inside Footy Mag. So we'll just go through each team. We won't go through every new recruit or every out, but we'll go through some of the bigger names here at the clubs, and we'll start with the Bendigo Bombers, obviously coached by Adrian Hipmott again for the second time in 2009. Captain is Michael Flaherty, looking to build on last year with only won 5 games. The Bendigo Bombers, and don't want to sound like I'm rude, but we'll have to wait and see on some of the recruits. Charles Slattery has come over from the Central Districts, probably one of the Slattery family there. You imagine the other two playing at the Bombers. Paul Scanlon has come back from Seymour, and the outs for the Bendigo Bombers is Brent Hardigan, Shannon Geary, Dale Young, and Johnny Coughlin.
Yep, the Box Hill Hawks.
So not going to give us any of your thoughts on the Bendigo Bombers this year, Jim. I'm just looking for your thoughts as I go through each team. How do you think the Bendigo Bombers will go this year?
They will struggle big time. I think a lot of the alignments will probably go with their AFL contingency. I think if the Bendigo Bombers struggle, so will Essendon and vice versa.
Well, I'm going to say they'll improve.
I don't think they will. Personally, I don't think they will.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you put a line through the Bendigo Bombers. So anyone tipping them?
Right, they were 5-15 last year. Mm-hmm. If they go 8 and, what do you call it, how many games are they going to play this year? Because there's buys this year.
18.
I think they might be playing that. I reckon if they're 8-10, that'll be an excellent year for Bendigo.
The Box Hill Hawks, we mentioned Uzo, we mentioned Isles, but they've done some very good recruiting here. Ed Curnow from Adelaide, I think he was on the rookie list at one stage. Lockie George, I'm a big fan of Lockie George. Mm-hmm. Good pickup from Tasmania there for the Box Hill Hawks. And one name here that has raised some interest is Marco Bello. He's a former Sandful star and is an assistant coach at the Box Hill Hawks. But his body must be fit because he's been listed there in the Box Hill Hawks. So good luck there to Marco Bello from the Central Districts.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm being an ignoramus here, but Marco Bello, did he win a McGarry medal or something? I don't know.
I haven't got the internet access this year, so I can't give that updated information at the drop of a hat.
But
I could last year.
So we mentioned the big recruits, but they lost a lot of experience, the Box Hill Hawks.
All their big recruiting over last year has all come unravelled because they've all left.
Al Neville, Digby Morrell, Cameron Hunter, Dale Noble, Chris Shaw, Ryan Brees, and Brad Kelleher. I mean, they're all regular senior footballers from last year.
I mean, Alistair Neville and Digby Morrell were the two surprise recruits over the previous summer, and they've gone.
And they're talking up Andrew McGuinness from Old Brighton, a former All-Australian under-23 amateur player and former Sandringham Dragon, to come on quickly. So.
But if Adam Uzay lives up to his class, they could add to that 6-14 season. I reckon they might go 8-10 as well.
We mentioned the new recruits at the Casey. Oh, sorry. What was that?
8-10.
Oh, okay.
So two teams on 8-10 at the moment. So there's going to be a few teams.
See, no. You're sitting on the fence, 8-10. If you give me 8-10 for the Casey Scorpions, you're stopping your review. But we've talked about the ins at Casey.
9-9.
Yeah, exactly. The Casey Scorpions. We've talked about the ins. The outs, Chris Dunn, Steve O'Brien, Adam Parker, Stefan Gruber, and everyone's mate, Pete McCoolia. It's a bit sad.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. I think he's still at the club. I reckon I saw him at the Frankston game.
Oh, okay.
I reckon he was there, but he might have been there just as a spectator.
Okay. So, yeah, some experienced players gone there for the Scorpions. But
yep. I think they've gone overseas, Dunn, O'Brien and Parker. I think they've all headed off overseas. I don't know what they're doing over there, but they've lost a few players. Stefan Garuba's definitely a big loss.
Yeah, didn't really kick on last year, Garuba. Yeah. You changed positions, though, so maybe that was just that more negative type.
Yep.
Didn't suit his game style, but Yeah. Stefan Garuba, the former Sydney Swan, has made his way off the Casey Scorpions list. So Kyle Matthews will captain them again. So good luck to the Casey Scorpions in 2009. The Coburg Tigers.
Casey Scorpions, 11-7.
11-7.
Yep.
So at this stage, they're
18 rounds this year.
At this stage, they're on top.
Yep.
Okay, so Coburg Tigers. And Jade Rawlings will coach again. Captain is Nick Cunnell. Quickly going through this, a new recruit there, Tim Clark. Most of the names are players who have to sit and watch.
We have to assume Matt Deludio is a brother of the other Deludio. Deludio?
Yeah, Brett.
From Kai Abram. Well, and Jacob Islop. You reckon he's a brother of the other Islop? Excuse my ignorance with first names at the moment.
Jacob.
It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Isn't it Tom?
Tom Islop, that's right.
But, it looks like it is. They've lost some handy footballers, haven't they? Paul Shelton's gone. Fort Caruso.
Yeah, but they haven't lost the
Joe
top.
Gazzo. I was a fan of Joe Gazzo.
Yep.
And they slip out. Nick Lynch. Sammy Robinson's gone.
Cartledge is missing. Tristan Cartledge. Yeah, his name's not on the list.
Well, he's gone to North Ballarat.
Exactly. So why isn't he on the list as a gone? But 12-6 for Coburg. If they live up to their pre-season.
12-6?
Well, you assume they were 12-9 last year.
Okay.
So you'd have to assume they're going to improve.
All right. So you're expecting a big season from the Coburg Tigers, Jimbo?
Hopefully. I don't know what you're saying, Bryce.
Collingwood. Our broadcast game live from 1 o'clock this afternoon. Gavin Brown is there for the second year. Damien Preville is the captain, replacing Nigel Carmody, who's gone to Chelsea. He's a big in. Luke Walker from Pakenham. I played sport against Luke Walker as a youngster. So he's made his way down there. Callum Sinclair from Caulfield. Timmy Hunt. Some names there we're not too sure about. But Collingwood have been very impressive in the pre-season, Jim. Their form seems to really turn around. So I'll be quite interested to see what you're going to say here in terms of how many games they'll win. Because I'm going to think Collingwood Football Club, if they can remain injury free, they will be on the surge. So I'm waiting for it.
Well, they've lost Lucuria, Carmody, and Crow, and they're three big losses. Tim Walsh is a big loss too.
Tim Walsh kicked 10 goals in a practice match, and that's all he did last year. Didn't get near the football.
Well, I reckon they're going
to. He spent more time away from it, and that wasn't just on the pine. That was when he was on the ground. He didn't get near it.
I'm not sure whether Collingwood will improve, but if they do improve, it's got to be a big improvement. Otherwise, they'll finish 5-13. That's not bad. So, no easy games this year. Franks, Tasmania have gone. Teams have improved.
I didn't actually realise. One of the biggest news stories of this little segment is the return of Michael Avlett. He's a gun halfback for the Dolphins, and he's back.
That's right. Have we gone to the Dolphins, have we?
Oh, sorry. Did you give us a game?
Yeah, 5-13.
5-13.
For Collingwood, they've got to improve. They've shown me nothing yet. I haven't seen them. That's why they've shown me nothing. It's hard to show me something when you haven't seen them. Frankston will play very well this year, but unfortunately, they've got to come up with a big gun player to. They need that big bodied player at forward.
Well, if Murray can, have a consistent season, he went off the ball a little bit towards the end of the season, though, didn't he, Aaron Murray? Looking at it here, I think they managed to keep that the former who's the guy I'm trying to think of? He got dropped a few times. The forward from the VFL went back to Frankston last year. Jim, help me out.
I'm not sure who you mean, but
Richmond listed.
Oh, Limbach.
Dean Limbach, that's right.
He's very disappointing.
Well, I can't see him in the out, so
he's definitely there. He played the practice match against Casey. Looked all right.
Yeah.
Aaron Murray didn't play, which was disappointing. Aaron Murray must play in this team if they're going to succeed. You need that big body up front.
And Matt Burns is another player coming back to the Dollies, so that's good.
Yeah, Matthew Clark looks all right. Very small in an under player, in the same mould as a Justin Berry type in an under player. Where Justin Berry's got the, he hangs out and receives the ball. Matthew Clark will counteract that, and he'll get in and get the ball out to Justin Berry.
Now, just going off the subject a little bit here, I'm not sure if you picked up, Jim, on Triple M, during its football broadcast, they've got a competition known as the WAGs.
The WAGs?
Yeah, the wife and girlfriends of footballers.
Okay.
Now, it's open to anybody, and you get down there and you win $5,000 for your football club. Part of the segment, actually, the Frankston girls get on there, and I don't know if any of them are tuning in, but I reckon that'd have to be half a chance to win the WAGs. So good luck to the Frankston girlfriends who, I think they're on the website at Triple M. So,
do you want me to name drop?
No.
Because tomorrow we're going to the Casey Sandringham game.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet, I hope, I don't know if she's agreed to it because we haven't asked her yet, Russell Roberts' girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Robbo's girlfriend is going to be there. I've invited her up to...
Brooke Ost.
Yep, I've invited her up to the commentary area. Whether she comes on, I don't know. I doubt it. But she's going to be there.
Out for the Frankston side, Ash Eames, the former strongman, is gone to play football in the bush. Paul Rebuscini injured his knee, never came back, Rebuscini, but good footballer, very good footballer. Razo, yeah, interesting to see him go. Chris Oliver, they've lost some big men, haven't they? Ash Eames, Chris Oliver and Russell Gabriel. They're three big-bodied players.
This is interesting. I reckon half of those names there were playing in the practice match against Casey. There seems to be some familiar names there from the Casey clash. Chris Weaver might be able to give you more information there.
First-year coach Trenton Grant replaces the Brett Lovett. The Brett Lovett. What's your rating?
Yeah, Trenton Grant. He's an interesting. He doesn't like controversy.
I don't think we'll be interviewing Trenton Grant again after your performance. But we'll move on. I haven't mentioned it.
Questions were relevant to the situation.
Jim, basically, I interviewed him for 10 minutes. You said one question, and I nearly hung up.
Because he didn't understand the reason
don't
for the question.
Don't go back there. We've moved on. That was the Friday show. This is the Saturday morning program.
So you don't want to hear my side.
We don't want to rehash it.
So your way of handling things is to ignore the situation.
No, we don't want to rehash it. No. Hopefully we'll have him on.
If he goes to Frankston and thinks he's going to go to the Telstra Dome and everyone's sitting there politely going, thank you very much, that was a great kick, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that at Frankston. They are trumpet. They are the West Indian... The Jamaicans of the VFL, they get out there with their trumpets, their drums, their atmosphere. You go to a Frankston game and you get atmosphere. You can go to these other grounds and you get nothing. And that's what I was saying. You know, you've got to experience a Frankston game to understand the culture of the place. It is a unique ground to go to. There's actually noise.
I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get through the rest of the teams, let alone Andy Love. I've got more news, so we might have to leave Andy Lovell till next week, I guess.
Can we quickly get Andy Lovell?
It's only 5 minutes.
That's all right. We can still talk to him. We can go an extra 5 minutes over if Adrian doesn't mind. I'll go and get Bryce to contact Adrian Lovell very quickly.
All right. Well, Geelong have recruited James Podsiadly and out for the Cats this year. James Byrne, their former captain. Jay Cheap. Cheap, he's gone. Drew Barnes and Chris Urie. So, wondering where they're going to go, the Cats. Injuries play a big part of any AFL alignment. Dale Amos is their first-year coach, replacing Lee Tudor. So, some fresh ideas down there, Geelong VFL side. You'd imagine they'd be competitive if they can keep their full squad on the list, on the ground, I should say, in terms of the AFL players. It could also be which players actually go down with injuries as well. If they lose some big men, as we've already seen, Otten's going out. That will put some extra pressure on the Cats with the rucking duties probably put onto Shane Mumford today. North Ballarat, last year's premiership side, well, they've recruited some good players there. Tristan Cartledge and Clinton Benjamin have AFL experience. Good handy pickups there. Expect them to do very well once again out. Daniel McConnell, Robbie Gregg's gone. Jake Dingan and Steve Owen. So you'd think the Roosters could go back-to-back. They've built on a very strong list. They've managed to keep a lot of their good players from the previous year. Jacob Spalding, Matt Sharkey, the Big O, Oren Stevenson. They're all there once again. Oren Stevenson and Tristan Cartledge was one of the most dominating ruck duos the VFL has had for a while, and you imagine that they'll be able to do that once again because they're in... They're pretty good ruckmen at this competition. They're big-bodied and they get themselves around the ground and can score goals at times. Now, Jim, we need your ratings for the Cats.
The Cats will go 12 and 6.
Ooh. Yeah. And quickly go to North Ballarat's rating?
Probably 14 and 2.
14 and
4. 14 and 4, sorry. Yeah, there might be two draws in there.
The Bull Ants, coached by Teague again. He's not playing this year.
Not playing?
No. So he'll just be coaching, that's good. And Adam Iacobucci is their captain. Saddington. It's good to see players like Saddington, I think, put their hand up to go around in the competition.
It is. It's good to see a lot of the ex-AFL players actually stay at the clubs they played with last year.
Now, this is a name that might be familiar to you, Jim. Jared McCorkle.
Jared McCorkle, the name rings a bell.
Yes, he's a former North Ballarat player. Has found his way to the Northern Bull Ants after winning the Best and Fairest in the Waffle. So, handy pickup. And here's a name for you. Wes Bilney, cousin of Eddie Betts. Supposed to be an excitement package, the machine. Wes Bilney. So we'll get out there and watch the Bloods play. A lot of experience leaving the Northern Bull Ants this year. Josh Vansittart, former captain, gone. David Teague, former captain coach, gone. Matthew Lappin, a former player assistant coach, gone. Paul Colbert was a senior player. And Chronic Bronick Davies.
Mm-hmm. So that's probably why they're going to finish 6 and 12 this year.
6 and 12. Okay, well, that's a bit harsh there on the Northern Bull Ants. They had 10 wins and 11 losses last year when a lot of people wrote them off. I think they'll do all right, the Northern Bull Ants, this year. David T can obviously concentrate on just coaching.
And speaking of Sandrine Edwards, the next team we're going to be looking at, we have Andy Lovell on 3SCR at this stage. And good morning to you, Andy Lovell.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you?
Very well, Andy, and welcome to the Saturday morning VFL footy show.
Thanks, mate.
How's it all been going? Last time we spoke, it was Melbourne. Now it's St Kilda.
Yeah, that's right. There's been a bit of change. the transition's been really smooth. Melbourne obviously had to go in their direction, and fortunately for Sandringham, St Kilda, were there. So it's been, as I said, it's been really smooth, and everyone's looking forward to it. It's a 5-year alignment, and so far it's been really positive.
Well, we get a lot of feedback, obviously being located out here in Casey, of the positive things at Casey Fields. The alignment's going strong, and the players are really starting to gel. Feeling the same thing now after the pre-season and a group of practice matches, that you guys, the things are starting to fall into place for the Zebras?
Yeah, well, you never know until you start playing real games. But, that's the challenge that Casey and Sandringham face, is new alignments and two new groups of players coming together for the first time. Playing those four practice matches together has really helped. There's no doubt about that. I think it's still a work in progress, but we've been fortunate enough to have a little bit of stability with the St Kilda boys coming down, and that's really helped. So they've been able to play, in some cases, 3 and 4 games together so far. So, it's coming together pretty well, but of course, it all comes down to, kick-off tomorrow.
Well, no one was really quite sure what was going to happen after the... It was announced at the end of the season it was going to happen, and I guess everyone's looking towards the pre-season, how many players were going to retire and what was going to happen. Losing Chad Liddell, Ezra Poyers and Chris Lamb, premiership players, you can't replace experience, but you still manage to keep a couple of the core players there, like Summers and the Axe Biddlecombe, to really add that stability to the Zebra side of things. It didn't all just fall away.
Yeah, that's right. We were really pleased that we're able to... retain those players. Nick Sortner and Rod Crowe are the other, yep, the other two that we were able to keep as well. So that, and David Gallagher, he's coming back off an ACL injury, and he's pretty fit. So they give us a bit of experience, because we're really young. We're young at Sandringham's end, and we'll probably be fairly young at St Kilda's end too, with the number of rookies that they've got and the young players in their list. So having those senior players gives you some real stability and real experience, which is what you need.
In the shake-up, you were lucky enough to pick up, I guess, two former Casey Scorpions players in Stefan Gruber. He's found his way to the Zebras. And Jared Allen.
Yeah, that's right. Look, Steph Gruber, I think he'll be a really good addition to us. He's fit and he's really skillful. And we probably lack that little bit of, ball use off halfback and through the midfield. So he brings a lot to us, and he's trained really hard. He's missed a fair bit of the pre-season, so he's still finding his way in terms of match fitness, but we're confident that once he's fit and firing, he'll be a really good player for us.
I guess one...
And Jared Allen's another young one that's had a good pre-season as well, and we expect big things from him.
I guess the thing with recruiting someone like Stefan Garuba, he's a ready-made senior footballer when fit, and there's not really that many players that rotate between clubs like that. So to pick up someone of his experience to step straight into that midfield, we'll replace someone like an Ezra Poyer. So it's a pretty handy recruit.
Yeah, he's a really handy recruit, and he's a quality person, and he's fitted in really well. And, we're not putting too much pressure on him, but we think once he's, once he's back to his peak fitness, he'll have a lot to offer. And, we're really fortunate to have been able to recruit him.
Now, Andy, I guess the thing with your situation is, first-year coach at Sandringham, the alignment was starting to finish up. Now it's joined again. Do you feel like you have to start from scratch?
In some respects we do, yeah, because it's really a whole new era, and we're focusing on regaining a little bit of that lost respect that we last year. The players were really competitive last year, and they worked really hard, and but to miss the finals was really disappointing from a club perspective. So in some respects we are starting from scratch with a really young group. But I feel that after 12 months in the job, that I've got a reasonable handle on the mechanics of the footy club, and certainly, building that relationship with those core senior players is, that's obviously a really important factor. So, it's a funny one. I feel like we are building from scratch in some respects, but in others, we've had a good solid 12 months to set up a foundation.
And some of that foundation you're just talking about there, Andy, was actually built last year when those injuries came in the middle part of the season for the Zebras. You allowed Chris Waller and Tommy Dean, Andrew McConnell, to start getting some senior experience. And some of those young boys really did step up under some pressure last year. And I'd imagine it would be pretty exciting to see those Zebras boys putting their hand up once again to push for senior selection this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no doubt about that. I think we'd won 6 and lost 3 at round 9, and we played 27 players, and then from between round 9 and round 16, we went from 27 to 52 players. So we had a fair bit of injuries. So, but that, you did right. It creates opportunity for young players, and I think Shane Tregear's an example. Chris Waller was another one that played some good footy. Tommy Deem, Sam Monaghan, Rennie Gilchrist is now in our leadership group, so he's really grown as a player and a person around the footy club. So. Yeah, it gave us some opportunity, and those players have now played sort of between 10 and 15 senior games, and it's not a lot, but it just gives them a little bit of confidence this year to say, well, they can compete at this level, and they need to take the next step.
What's some of the differences you've noticed in the structure of the St Kilda Football Club in terms of the way they look at the alignment to what you had to deal with the Melbourne Football Club?
Yeah, look, I reckon they're pretty similar. Well, last year, we struggled in some respects. The Melbourne Sandringham alignment was clearly the most successful and professional alignment in the comp to date, and we're excited because we see some real similarities with St Kilda. The whole culture at St Kilda is really professional and highly motivated, and it's driven really strongly by the senior coach there and the administration. So, I don't think it's not unlike the Melbourne alignment over the years. The players come down, they're focused, they're disciplined, and they're really hungry to play well. And that's all you can ask for in an alignment, I think. As long as both clubs respect each other and where they're headed and what they stand for, I think, and the communication's good, which it has been. It's been fantastic, the communication. I think, that augurs well for a pretty successful alignment.
Now, Andy, I guess missing the finals last year was the first time after a long run of success down at Sandringham. Are you rebuilding, or do you think this will be a chance for St Kilda coming in, some fresh faces down there you can push back to play in the finals again this year?
You've got to be careful about making sweeping statements. But, yeah, we are rebuilding in a sense, but I also expect us to our aim is to make the finals. And where we end up, we don't know, but... But clearly, our focus is not solely on where we end up. It's more about our performance and our effort. And through that effort and performance, just regaining some of that respect, as I said before, that I felt and the whole footy club felt we lost a little bit last year. So where we end up, only time will tell. But we're really focused and really confident that if we bring our effort to the game each week, then we can get some of that lost respect back.
I guess how's the focus been going into round one, knowing that Sandringham would go up against the Melbourne Lions Scorpions? We spoke to Peter German earlier. It's been mentioned, but not really a focus. Has it been brought up at all in the preparations for the game tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously everyone knows, so it hasn't needed to be brought up. But it's a bit ironic, I guess. And it'll be a good test for both clubs, and early on in the alignment as to where they're at. But it hasn't been a focus for us at all. Everyone's aware of it, and it may bring a little bit of added interest to the clash, but certainly it's just about two teams going out and trying to perform at their best.
Well, Andy, your final question for the morning. We asked Peter German the same question. Any youngsters coming through or any new names that we could expect to be featuring for the Zebras in the senior lineup this year?
Yeah, we've got a young bloke from the Dandenong Stingrays, Ricky Ferraro, who was their captain last year. He's had an outstanding pre-season and copped a little bit of an injury 2 weeks ago, which has stalled him a little bit, but he's been fantastic, and we expect him to play senior footy. Another young bloke that we got from Foster up in the country, Victoria, Brett Eddy, a full forward, centre-half forward type. He's had a really good pre-season too and shown a lot of ability. Jared Robertson was the captain of the Sandy Dragons. He's another one that's done particularly well. So we've got some good young kids there that we reckon can stand up. Will Johnson's one from the Dragons. He played a couple of games as a 19-year-old last year in our reserve side, and he's 193. He's athletic and he's pretty tough. He's played fullback and half back. So he's another one that we think, with a bit of development, could play some really good senior footy for us. So we've got a few young kids here that, we're really excited about.
Well, Andy, thank you so much again for joining us here on the Saturday Morning Footy program. You always give up your time whenever we ask. Really appreciate it. And good luck in season 2009 with the Zebras.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
There's Andy Lovell joining us. And I know we're running over time here, Jim, and Andy and Adrian Morton's got the staring going through from Studio 2, but we've got to quickly just finish off the program here. Sorry, Adrian. I am sorry. But did you give us some selections for the Buoyants?
Who did, me?
Yeah, you. Did you give us a rating?
Oh, 6 out of 6 to 10. I had to make a few adjustments due to the fact of I would have been about 25 wins out. But
okay. Well, we'll go to Port Melbourne then while you're doing that, because they've recruited some good players once again, but some good players on the way out. Blake Grimmer from the Kangaroos, as we mentioned, the DeLuca boys. Nathan Batsanis, he played some good senior football last year. And Luke Casey Radio Lee has made his way down to Port Melbourne, so we still got to squeeze him in there. Yep. Out, former captain last year, Luke Cotchett, Luke Livingston, David Spriggs, Robin Nahas, who's been recruited to Richmond, Kurt McGlynn and Ben Sutcliffe.
11-7. We'll have to skip over the last three due to the fact that we're way over time.
Okay.
I've Sandringham 11-7, Ben Werribee 7-9, and Williamstown 9-7 wins, that is.
Okay, well, make sure you... from next week, we'll have 3.5 hours of football from 8 o'clock. Make sure you tune in to the Casey Kadinia football and netball show, which leads into the VFL footy show, and then young Bryce Eyeshold will take over the reins for the Dandenong Junior Footy League program. Every Saturday and Sunday, the broadcast will continue here on Casey Radio, live from 1 o'clock. Make sure you tune in this afternoon for the Geelong-Collingwood game with Kane Pollard and Tristan Fernanda, and then Sunday we'll be at Trevor Barker Oval for the big game between Sandringham and the Casey Scorpions. This is Kane Pollard signing off, and join me at Optus Oval at 1 o'clock. Casey Radio, 97.7 FM.